It's hard to believe that first hour went that quick, but it did. Maybe if a bunch of us contribute and buy RBN one of these free energy machines, they won't have as many spots, you think? I mean, just an idea, you know. By the way, let me add this, Bruce, for the audience, another tidbit I picked up Friday night over on Jeff Rentz. He, you know, used to run TV stuff in Las Vegas. He was a local news anchor and producer and stuff for, I think, 13 years over there. And a friend of his called him Friday during the day from Las Vegas, who was in a Costco. I guess they've got 8 or 9 Costcos there in the greater Las Vegas area. One of them's in Kingman, Arizona, too. And the guy walks into his friendly Costco, right, like we've all done, Sam's warehouse or whatever, one of those. And he go back where the freezers are with the meat and everything. There's a 50-foot Visqueen wall from ceiling to floor. He goes up to it, and he looks. Somebody had ripped a hole in it. He peeks in, and those huge banks of freezers they have with doors on both sides and an aisle for restocking in the middle and stuff, every one of them, all the doors and everything are gone except the frame. All of the heating, the compressor, and all the equipment to service them is gone. And so he asked one of the employees, hey, goes, well, what's going on here, you know? The guy goes, well, I don't know. I came into work one morning, and this is all done overnight. I don't know that I haven't gotten any more updated information on that. I know Rentz was going to post some pictures and stuff, he said, on the show Friday night. The guy called in. He talked about it for an hour. But evidently, it's the only place that we know of that it's happening, but they may be taking all the frozen meats out of some of these places. Just a heads up to folks, okay? Back to our conversation, Bruce.
Well, that was the first time I've ever been thrown in jail and the first time I ever got a judge off the bench. And that was my first go-around.
Well, you know what? You ever remember Timothy Leary, Mr. LSD? He made a statement that I've always remembered, and I've experienced it a couple of times myself, actually. And he said, when that jail door closes, you get an instant education.
It's true. But you also can't curl under. You got to go ahead and go forward.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You just got to stand up. And that's what I did. So about 3 years later, we move and go to outside of Columbia in a small community, and we bought a house. And her mother and father helped us do the down payment. Mm-hmm. So we were filed for the closing. So I told my wife that her mother and father put in money. You're the sibling. You go in there and you sign the paperwork. I didn't want to be a part of it because I knew what I was going to do later. So anyway, she went in and did the deed. And about a year and a half to 2 years, I started working on the mortgage company. Because I knew they did not lend her any money. And it was a hole in the wall. I mean, the place was a lake house, nice place. And they were just pulling her leg, and I tried to talk to her. And she didn't understand. So she said, okay, you just do it. You just do what you got to do, okay? So I did. The judge, the master in equity, every time I walked in that door, he knew what I was going to do. And it went on for 4 years, the foreclosure. And see, I came under the law of covetor.
The law of what? The law of what, Bruce?
Covetor.
Okay. Covetor. Not familiar with that.
Okay. She's my wife. She's my property and my interest. And I'm here to defend my interest and my property. And she looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about? She had no idea what I was doing. The judge looked at me. He said, Mr. Hagan, I'm not going to accept that. I said, I'll repeat it again. I was telling you, she is my property and my interest, and I'm here to protect my interest and my property. And he looked over at the other side, and they didn't say anything. And I said, by the way, I want to see if this attorney over here on the other side has her license to practice law. in the state of South Carolina. And he said, well, go ahead and show your license. So she handed me her bar card. I started reading it off. I read the front and the back. And I said, that's nothing like, that's like a membership to a country club. That's not a bar license. I want her out of here. But he called us, recess and dismissed the hearing. And we got called back again. And back again, and back again. And I was the only one in the room. My wife wouldn't come. And I was the only one in there, and it went on 4 years. And the largest law firm in the state of South Carolina, the main guy that was over that law firm came in. So we don't know what to do with him. Every time we get paperwork from him, we stop for 2 days and read over exactly what he's doing to us. And this has got to stop. Well, they threw me in jail for contempt of court, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
They sold the house while I was in jail. They didn't want me there because I had bid it on it before, and they dismissed that deal. And anyway, so...
Is South Carolina a non-judicial foreclosure state where they only have to advertise it in the paper for 3 weeks to sell it on the courthouse step on the first Monday?
Yeah, but so you can petition... Uh-huh. That before they sell it, and go through the process of even going through bankruptcy and stopping it, slowing it down and stopping it. Anyway, so these attorney officers or whoever, head of the firms in South Carolina, petition the Supreme Court justice. We need him off the bench. He takes too long to make a foreclosure. Now, this is how they make a foreclosure on your house.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got big powers right here.
Here we go. Let's say the lowest person in the law firm, a rookie, will take boxes and boxes of these foreclosures in folders. And I went to one of these things just to see what was going on. She'll take the top one off the stack, take it to the bench. The judge will accept it. Put it on his desk and open it up while she's going back to pick up the next envelope. And when she gets it and walks back up, that he hands the one he just signed.
Okay.
That's it. You saw that, yeah. And it'll take all day to have all those foreclosures signed.
I got a great story revolving around that. We don't have time for it in my tax deal with the IRS. We'll talk about it sometime. I'll tell it to you. It's pretty interesting. About your story, seeing that, and I don't know if this would have applied, but I think it does apply, and you're saying your wife's your property. Well, you're already a citizen of the United States, so you're already have a property right on you, and you can't own anything. That's why you got a certificate of title on your car, and you got to pay your property taxes on the property rolls. But while you were telling that, here's what hit me. And I had a listener. It's one of the interesting things that's come on the show. I'd never thought about it. So you go in and get your wife to sign the mortgage, right? And do all the stuff, and it's in her name then, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, now she sells it to you with a bill of sale, and you don't go registered on the property rolls, and you're off the property rolls. When they send her the bill, she says, I don't own this property anymore.
Right. Well, we didn't do all that. We didn't.
Just to let you know, I'd never thought of it. One of my listeners got her land that way. So, anyway, Bruce,
That's
I got other folks hanging, man. So,
okay,
listen, call back and chat with us again. Good to hear from you, and good luck there in Branson, all right?
You do a good job, Roger. Keep it up, man.
Thank you, Bruce. They'll have to kill me to make me stop. Sam, next victim. John in New Jersey. John from Jersey. Come on in.
Yeah, Roger. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Roger. I don't know if you remember me. I was emailing you back and forth trying to get that ID so I could get my passport going. Remember that?
I think I do, vaguely, man. I get a lot of emails, but yeah, I do. But
yeah.
You had to jump over a few hurdles in front of you.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you a story. I wish I could tell you a happy ending there, but some of it is anyway. I got my passport back, and they declined it. And then they said, we declined it because we found something on your record there. And what they did, let's go back a little bit. back in, I think, 2011 or 12 or whatever, I got your book, and I did my affidavit, like, 2012, right? And I registered it with the...
And you got a passport with it, or did you just send it in without an
No, I never got a passport, no. No, and, okay, so... and I filed that with the county, and then I notified.
Okay, did you file it with the Secretary of State of the United States?
I sent it to Attorney General. I have a whole list. I don't remember.
Okay, well, it's got you can leave all those other folks off. The one guy you got to notice is the Secretary of State, because he's in charge of all matters concerning citizenship, and that was told to me in a letter by the Secretary of State of the state of Florida.
Right.
So
right.
He's the main guy.
Well, see, okay. Yeah. Well, what I did was, I notified back in the day, you know, we're still learning and whatever, and I did all that, and I saved all them notarized copies and whatever, and I kind of shelved it. And at that time, my dad had got sick, and he passed away, and I acquired a couple other properties, and I have this property. So so I moved over to the other property. I was fixing it up, and at that time I was involved with a sovereign church or whatever, and kind of got IDs and stuff with that and a different name and whatever, and just kind of went that way. And then all of a sudden, I get this issue there on the one property there, and what they did is... without me knowing it, they got default judgment on it, on a foreclosure or whatever. And I never got noticed because I wasn't getting any mail there or whatever. And so this went on, it was like the end of 2019. And, I'm fighting with my Christian name and not my legal name. And then it dawned on me, I said, well, I filed that affidavit and all, and that's when I got my ID back again. And that ID, just not driver's ID, just regular ID. And I'm not having a problem with this property, but I'm having a problem with that. Yeah, they come in and one night, and the police pulled guns on me and arrested me, and while I was in jail, they took my stuff there and kicked me off the property, and I'm still fighting that battle. So fast forward to now, I went through all this with the passport and all. Well, what they did is they, they helped me for 3 days, and of course they put me in front of the judge, and I said, well, I'm not under your authority. I wouldn't agree to anything, wouldn't sign nothing, and they just released me, and I figured, well, that's the end of that, And yeah. But apparently they declined my passport. That apparently came up, and it says on there, the citing or whatever, and it says, for attempted burglary or whatever. Well, that was
burglary?
My house. I'm
okay, so the charges, when they arrested you, they didn't wipe the charges off the book. When you applied for the passport, it triggered an NCIC search, and they picked that up. The same thing that happened with the guy in California with the drunk driving stuff, okay?
Right.
And in that letter, I bet you they quote 27 CFR and a couple of CFR sections as a reason for their rejection. I guarantee you they do. They go into 27 CFR, and there's some in there about the deals with this, which shocks me because that's BATF stuff. It's 27,
right.
And but that's what they're using. Now, it brings up a very interesting situation, although this is grandfathered a bit, your incident, okay? But this
right.
is why we kind of switched horses here relatively recently, and instead of sending in a passport application first, we suggest, you can do whatever you want, we suggest you send them a cold affidavit with a cover letter first. And these two situations, this second one I've heard about, you and this other fella, and the reasoning behind it, it probably applied to the other fellow more than it does to you. But if you send that affidavit in first, see, you're not a resident anymore. Okay? And all of those Code of Federal Regulations are written for residents, except income tax has got both of them. 26 has got both of them in there. And so at least if they reject and keep your money, which they do, you've got grounds for an administrative appeal because you had a blank affidavit in and you weren't a resident when you applied through a passport application, and therefore those laws shouldn't be applicable to you.
Right. Well, after, yeah, well, see, that that affidavit I have on file with the county actually it's in Gloucester County, and that's still in their public office.
Yeah, but, so but see, it doesn't make, that's fine. You can notice everybody on the sun. Until you get the Secretary of State notice, none of it has any bearing.
Yeah,
you can do all those
afterwards
and do local notice is fine. But those two things,
right.
You know, see, this is the problem John and Glenn had. This is the problem we had 30 years ago with their tax stuff, is we didn't know about the Secretary of State. Now, you know, I'm not going to beat dead John Benson up, but he should have known. But his focus was so focused on taxes that he didn't even think about these other things, and they had us file those affidavits in the property records office of the county we were born in or the county we lived in. And the problem was the nexus wasn't severed with the Secretary of State, and that's why all that stuff happened. Now, I'm going to make a statement. If we'd have known about the Secretary of State back then, we very well may be living in a different United States these days.
Right.
That
right.
one thing,
so,
that
yeah.
one element right there is what was missing.
Right. Well, the thing is, after, you know, I read your paperwork and all this stuff that you come on RBN again, you know, I did file that one-sentence affidavit, but see, that's after the fact. See?
Yeah, they ain't going to recognize no ex post facto these sorry slaving bastards.
So that affidavit that I had on file with the county, that's not going to – it holds water here. They don't bother me here. I mean, I travel all over. I use a private tag. I work privately. But that's where I ran into trouble in Atlantic County. Now, that's what they – I just pulled it out. It says pursuant 22 CFR 5160. B and 1 and or 51.60 B 9, you may reapply for a passport once you have cleared your warrant up. That's what it says.
Okay. All right. Did they keep your hundred and something dollars that you sent into?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, well, they got big deficits.
Yeah, well, it says
there,
can appeal it. They said I got 60 days from receipt of the letter.
Okay.
All right,
that's your administrative appeal. There's your administrative appeal. That's the first step to maybe even taking somebody to court down the line. You got to get that out of the way first. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send them what my thought was is first send a notice, a legal lawful notice, to wherever this court is and whatever. And get to the bottom of that and let them, send information back on that to see and send a copy of the affidavit or whatever. There is one, the 5-page one. And then say, look, I noticed them, legal lawful notice, notice the agent, notice the principal, notice the agent.
Okay.
And that's what I was thinking anyway, and then present that as an appeal. Say, hey,
It'll be great if you got an affidavit on file with the Secretary of State of the U.S. to back all that up. If it's not, you're just probably going to go through an exercise, would be my guess.
Really? If I don't, I go look for my paperwork.
I don't know how much plainly I can put it. The Secretary of State of the United States is the lord of the manor in the new federal feudal system that has all final authority over whether you're a serf or not. And if you haven't told them officially, volunteered out of the contract, withdrawn your consent to all this crap, then none of that other stuff's going to make any difference. You got to do it with him first. That's why all these people say, well, I'm cogitating on it, Roger. I'm trying to get up the courage. My wife don't want me to do it. Okay. Well, every day you wait, it's a day you can get yourself in a hole. Okay? So there's a break.
Right,
we're going to
come
back on the other side and talk to John and whoever else is next. See you in a minute.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Paper money will destroy America. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. In 1791, Thomas Paine blamed paper money for England's financial problems. Paper money was partially to blame for Shays' Rebellion and the U.S. money problems between the Articles of Confederation and the U.S. Constitution. James Madison fought against paper money for his entire political career. Paper money has caused the collapse of countries and empires worldwide for centuries, and our founding fathers knew that. No currency without a physical backing can last forever. No country can pile up debt and spend forever. The Federal Reserve, bankers, and politicians all know these facts. So why then has the U.S. been piling up trillions in debt on paper money for over 100 years? They're all just hoping to die rich before the collapse. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
All righty, we're going to get back into the program. I want to correct something that guy said on that spot right there. He said we've been under paper money for 100 years, and that's not true. We didn't go under the fiat system until 1933 in the bankruptcy when they took the gold and substituted the new paper because you're the collateral for it when they changed the system. So I just wanted to go into that also, by the way, before we forge ahead here with John. I saw a recent a video by Cliff High on this very subject of Ferns. He said the dollar will crash between August and October. Hold on to your hats. So go ahead, John.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, that's kind of where we're at. So so the only thing I could try to do is send that old affidavit, and I sent a new affidavit, and maybe I can get it overturned.
Here's the first step you ought to take. Drop back, call a long post play, and send a naked affidavit, one sentence, to the Secretary of State, certified return receipt requested, and let's make sure that's into him. Then you got a whole bunch of options. Until you do that, you're urinating in a north wind.
Yeah, well, I did that already. I got the green card. It just said Capitol Hill on it. Yeah, fantastic. I did that probably back in March or something.
Okay, good. Well, then you're home.
22.
Well, you're home free then. Yeah. You can, from that date forward, you can start swinging Excalibur, but I don't know how much you're going to do damage on the previous stuff. You're going to have to go plow into that and see if you can get it taken care of.
Yeah, well, I lost two properties and a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they
you're not the first. That brings up a subject I've been meaning to address, and I haven't. If you got a mortgage out there, You know, when you're signing that 6-inch stack of papers at the closing of your house, I doubt if you read the fine print. In every mortgage contract, there's a clause called an acceleration clause. Do you know about those, John?
No.
Okay. The bank can call every total balance due and owing at any time, which I heard they did during the 30s. And that could be going in their plans. So they could make an immediate acceleration clause call on every home that's mortgaged in the country.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting.
I'm not saying they will. Yeah. I'm saying they can.
Well, buyer beware, right?
Yep.
Well,
yep.
You know what's interesting, Roger, is my neighbor, she kind of, you know, looks at everything and talks to me or whatever, and they tried to sell the property there over in Hamilton. That's where it's at. And she said they sold it two times, and they can't sell it. They're not allowed to sell it. They can rent it out, but they can't sell it. But I sent my affidavit to the county and to the sheriff and to the tax office and saying, you know, what are you doing here? You know, and I sent them a notice, and then I sent another notice that you didn't default notice. So, but it still didn't get my property back, but they're saying they can't sell it. So
well,
I don't know what that's all
about. It's probably encumbered with all this stuff, and they don't have clear title, so they can't sell it, be my guess.
Yeah, well, that's at least that's one step in the right direction anyway.
Yeah, well, you know? Go and investigate it, John, and let us know how it turns out. Now, we all wish you good luck, and fighting the beast is quite an endeavor. So
I'm telling you, it's been going on. I mean, I've been throwing everything I can at them, and it's just been taking a lot out of me.
They'll suck you dry, buddy. You know, it gets to the point where even if you win, you lose because they've stolen your whole damn life for the win. I mean, listen, that's where what I do here, this came out of that right there, fighting the IRS in federal court. And I got beat up real bad, man. I walked out and said, hell, there's got to be a better way to do this. Okay? And here we are. And we beat them. And they stand.
Well, they want you to dry up and go away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I ain't going away.
They want you to give up. Yeah, I ain't going away either. And I ain't backing down. And I'll tell you what, when I ever get a chance to spring on them, they're going to get it all back tenfold. You know what
I mean? Well, my hope is one of these days, since they've already convicted themselves because they can't rebut or reply to that affidavit, that we can just go along and start grabbing them off the street and hanging their sorry asses. That's my hope.
Well, I'm gonna be right with you there, Roger.
Okay. And, I mean, these are the biggest lying, murdering, slaving, pedophile, blood drinking, slaving son of a bitches that have ever walked the face of the earth. That's who we're dealing with here.
Yeah, they're pieces of slime there, and I'm being polite about that.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah, I'm being polite, and we're on.
Okay.
A lot of company and who's talking there, but so I guess what I have to do is notice the why they have that thing on there where they got that.
You need to go find you a property attorney, would be my suggestion. Have you thought about talking to Brent Winters?
No, I didn't really know about him. Maybe
I'm gonna give it to everybody right now. His website is commonlawyer.com, and up at the top there's a row of buttons. One of them says contact. Shoot him an email. He just got this guy off 6 felonies in Colorado and pled guilty to a misdemeanor we were talking about earlier. So Brent's a good attorney. He's a great guy, and he might be able to help you. I'd at least float him a contact email and see if he can help you at all. Now, we got a spot break coming up. Sam is just hell-bent for leather to pay these bills. And, John, I'm going to dump you out here and say goodbye and get somebody else because there's a few folks waiting on the other side. So we'll see you in a minute. Thank you, John. Contact Brent and see if you can get some satisfaction.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, that means we're back right here. Sam, who's next, and how many folks we got in line here for me, if you would? John, we got John in Jersey, was who we just got. Paul in New York, not him again.
Yeah, not him again.
Hey, Paul.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
When we had a call, and he was talking about, he was kind of apprehensive about noticing one of his local agencies, because the company he works for does business with them.
Well, what, you're on a funky phone tonight. You're not real clear.
Really?
Well, it's what my, to, according to my ears, maybe you can back it off or adjust it a little bit. See?
All right.
Okay. Well, Sam's going to get the scrubber and scrub you a little bit here, Paul. Let's see if he did a good job here. You, Olympia, okay. On? That mean you're clean yet?
All right, let me turn it down a little bit. I'm using a Yeti Nano.
No, you're better now. You're better. It was just blurred a little bit. So go ahead.
Okay, well, I turned my level down a little bit. So, all right. Now, the guy that called in, was that Ken, maybe, that he was apprehensive about noticing his local government or local agency? Because,
well, you mean the guy we just got off with John in New Jersey with all this property involvement?
No, the guy that wanted to, he had a quandary. He didn't know if he should notice his local government.
Frank from Colorado. Yeah.
Okay, Frank. All right. Well, first of all, I don't see where it would be a problem because he's filing notice as an individual, as a free person, and not as a representative of the company that he works for.
Well, I told him I've never seen any backlash from anybody's situation in 11 and a half years. I don't think he would, but I can understand him, you know, looking into it and thinking about it. Remember one thing I've always taught you guys. The only way we learn here, really, on these fine points is when somebody has the balls to press the envelope. That's when we learn.
Right. Well, I'm thinking that what he could do, if he is apprehensive about filing directly with the agency, that he could use the law of agency and notice the principal is notice to the agency.
Frank knows all that. Yeah, he knows all that. I think his deal was he's working for a municipality. I believe that was the quote-unquote agency that he was talking about. We didn't get into those specifics. That's what I took away from the conversation. But anyway, you know, the other thing is what you and Daniel have come up with, and is if you're apprehensive about stuff like that, go ahead and file the one with the Secretary of State first. Then you're at least clean. And as you learn or as you get comfortable, then you can put people on notice that you feel comfortable doing. So there's a way around that, but understand that that leaves your ass hanging out, okay?
Yes,
so,
it does.
And we've seen a recent example of that on a show with one of our female listeners from Georgia, and that happened. She sent it in to the Secretary of State. A real horrible situation happened in her family. She was in the adjacent county, and she said, I've never even gotten a speeding ticket before. Of course, her mind was on the situation. She got caught for speeding, and she hadn't put all the people in Georgia on notice yet. So it can backlash on you, you know. And we still don't know how that's going to turn out. What we had her do was go ahead and take the affidavit and cover letters and say, this is on file with the Secretary of State of the United States, and fire it over the DA's bow down there, take a shot over his bow and see how they react. They may just not contact her and never call her for the case. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's possible. But I'm thinking if he could find an agency that's connected, though distant, to who he would ultimately be serving, that he could do that, and then at least it's on file with under the laws of agency.
I don't think it makes a difference that he'd give them a notice of a job that his employer is working for. You know, the ones he wants to put on notice as him personally is IRS and the Colorado State Tax Division, so they're not taking any more withholding out of his check. That's the ones you want to put on notice. And then, you know, it doesn't make a damn whether you're a national or not. You're working for another company. They're on a contract with whatever this is and shouldn't affect you at all.
Yeah, it shouldn't, in theory.
I'd be willing to bet you everything I own that if he did, there wouldn't be any backlash. I mean, in 11 and a half years, I've never seen one incident of any backlash on anybody from doing this. Not one. Or at least I've never heard about it.
He certainly has a unique case, but I don't know if it's that unique where, you know, the standard rules would not apply.
You know, you don't need to put everybody on notice. You just need to put key people on notice. Sheriff, chief of police of your town, district attorney, maybe the public health official. I can see adding that in, and I don't see a need to give anybody else notice. It's none of their business.
Yeah, and what was it, the county coroner? And also the public health official and the school board.
Well, again, no, you don't even have to put the coroner on. I've mentioned that because technically, and I was surprised to learn this a few years ago, I didn't know it, some of you may not know it, the coroner's the highest law official in the county. Now, what we found here recently is several people say the sheriff is the coroner, and the only reason the coroner's got that is because he signs death certificates, does autopsies and stuff, okay? But,
right.
I mean, you know, you're going to send it to the coroner, you know, what the hell is this thing? What is this wacko, you know? It doesn't apply to him. It does to the sheriff, obviously. But sheriff, chief of police, district attorneys probably should be the first one. District attorney, sheriff, chief of police, and public health official. I don't see the need to copy anybody else on that notice than those folks. But some of our folks are just so full of piss and vinegar, they just want to notice everybody.
Well, they got their freedom. They want everybody to know it, dang it.
Well, I can't argue with them. I applaud them for that. But, you know, there's a little common sense and decorum in there, and I don't think you need to overdo it. Okay, but anyway, that's just and there's no set rules. It's not because Roger said it. That's just the best conclusions I've come up to all these years of working with people and getting these results and thinking about this. And you just do the key people. Let everybody else go to blazes.
Yeah. Now, you also had a caller that was talking about delays in the return of the green card.
Yeah. Laurie up in New Hampshire, the boomerang affidavit.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, okay, I sent a notice to the Secretary of State on the 7th. The day that I mailed it was the 7th. I got notification that they received it on the 13th, and you know, I still don't have that dang card yet.
Well, you might not get it. You know, the little green return receipt card is just a little slip of paper. It's easy, I guess, to get lost in mail. Maybe it slips in a magazine, you know, something that doesn't get delivered. So there are certainly cases like that, and you can't slight the post office for that. But again, I just get so exacerbated with our folks that major on the minors so much. Oh, I didn't get the green card back. They're wringing their hands. Doesn't make any difference. It's considered received when you put it in the mail. I had an email from a gal the other day. She's going, well, man, I really like to do this, but I'm not seeing any demonstrations. I'm not seeing nationals out there. I said, well, hell, I hope you don't, you know. We can fight this revolution from your computer at your house, all right? And then she wrote back with some other concerns. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. And I don't know about people who hadn't got their green cards back. And so I wrote her, I pulled that old 1835 Supreme Court case, Ubuntu versus DRC out. And that is before the 14th Amendment, the 1835. It says the passport is an ex parte document. It's issued by the Secretary of State to present you to other nations in the world. It's an ex parte document. That means it's a separate part of what they're talking about. Okay, and the last of that site out of there says it is what matters is in what paperwork is in the possession of the secretary, and if it's admissible in a court of law, which an affidavit certainly is, should be considered the higher, better evidence. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's what you ought to be concerned about, not a damn green card. You know,
right.
And submit the thing, wait a little while, and do a Freedom of Information Act request and see if it's in there. Now,
right.
If you're going to do that, and you're going to do a Freedom of Information Act request, you can't do this willy-nilly. And I want to see everything in my executive file, please, Mr. Secretary. You got to go in there and ask for specifics. I want documentation contained in my administrative file that has to do with either passport evidence, citizenship evidence, or passport applications. That's how you go into a FOIA. You got to specifically tell them what you want. If you don't, they're going to take your money and say, go pound sand. You hadn't been specific enough.
Well, I have the receipt with the tracking number on it, and I have checked the tracking number online, and it shows that they received it on the 13th. But the tracking number and the original receipt doesn't have the address of the recipient on it. And the tracking notification that I got by actually tracking that number... That doesn't have the recipient on it.
You know, look,
the card.
It doesn't make any difference. The minute you put it in the mail, it's considered received. That's law. Okay? IRS, they can send you anything to your last known address. You haven't lived there for 20 years, and it's considered received.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
well, I just
what
want
I'm trying
my
to, I, to you new folks, please stop majoring on the minors. You're wasting time.
Well, what I want to do is submit a copy of the proof that they received it with my passport application and my affidavit. The copy of the affidavit when I do my passport application.
Okay.
That's what
they don't need proof. They can just go over and check your administrative file to see if there's anything in there. Send it anyway and go ahead and do it. But, you know, you say you sent it this month. You're talking about the 13th. That isn't enough time for them to get that back to you yet, normally.
That card? The card is this just first-class mail. It's going to take 4 days.
Hey, Paul, we're talking about the post office here. Come on.
Oh, it's a good damn thing my chair's got safety belts on it or I'd be on the floor. Oh, man, you're crazy. You are.
Yeah, well, I try to be. Paul, I got other folks holding here. I want to make sure I get to everybody. So thanks for calling. I'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, okay? Thank you for everything you do for us, by the way. Did he hang up? Who's next, Sam? Give me another victim. Andy in Texas. Andy, front and center.
How you doing, Roger? Hey, appreciate you taking my call. First off, I want to start off with, I did not know.
Well, hold it. You didn't let me answer. You said, how you doing? Fine as frog hair.
How you doing?
Fine as frog hair split four ways.
I didn't know frogs had hair, but that's cool. I like it. I didn't know that Jeff Rentz spent over 10 years being an anchor in Las Vegas. That's interesting.
Well, I think he did both. I think he was on the local news stand, and then he also, I've heard him say he produced it, too. So he wore both hats.
Okay. So, look,
you can tell from listening to Jeff that he's got media experience because he's real good.
Yeah, and he's just real smooth, too. No panic, no worried for information. Yeah, he's just spot on. He's a good guy. So, look, I'm not going to be facetious. I'm going to be kindergarten Andy from Texas here. Okay, so with the world the way it's going right now, we've got George Soros prosecutors, George Soros judges, George Soros people in Congress in all of our states, people in Congress in our United States. All the world is breaking down. Rules, laws, and everything are out the window. Democrats, if you're doing what the Democratic Party wants you to do, you get off, you get, arraigned and then let go. This, that, and the other. With all this lawlessness going on, and I take your program and I achieve your area of a non-citizen. I'm just
You will okay. never
no,
be a non-citizen.
I'm in kindergarten.
Good. Well, then let me make this differentiation because it's real important. And I see our people slipping into it all the time. The only people that are non-citizen nationals are American Samoans and the 30 or so people that live on a little island called Swains Island. They're non-citizen nationals, and the reason they're non-citizen nationals is when they're born, they're nationals, but they are not 14th Amendment citizens. They have to naturalize, even though they're born within the system, the territorial system of the U.S., the federal government, they have to naturalize to be a 14th Amendment citizen. Okay. We are so both. All we're doing is switching back and forth.
Okay, so let's presume I get to the status that you're trying to get us all to get to.
It ain't no big obstacle. It's your decision. Is it you want to be one? They can't say no.
No, I haven't got to my question yet, and there is a question at the end of this. So let's presume that I do get to the position that you're in. I do everything I need to do. I put all the paperwork in. It gets approved, this, that, and the other. How does this actually help me when they're coming to get my guns, when they pull me over for something stupid or they stop me at a checkpoint? I mean, I really want to know this. Do I just show them some card and I get to walk away from this?
In the case of traveling, yes. We've had several of our listeners only drive on the only identification they carry, period, is their passport card that's linked to their affidavit. I can put you in touch with three people. One of them, ex-truck driver, has had it happen in both Virginia and North Carolina. He's got custom tags on his spot. The other two are out of Alabama. They get pulled over for whatever reason. One of them was just a traffic check, check on your papers. They got a couple other cars stopped there, and people are giving them all their insurance registration, all that. And our guys, when the cop walks up to the car, he goes, "Am I under arrest?" And the cop laughs. He had his passport book with him, not his card, gave him the passport book. He went back, checked it, ran it, and came back and said, "Well, have a nice day." Other cars are still sitting there giving all their paperwork, and he lets him go. Okay?
So
yeah, it works. We're all subject to the umbrella of man-made laws as federal citizens out of Washington, D.C., Andy. When you file this, you remove yourself from that, just as if it was pre-Civil War and there was no 14th Amendment. Now you're under state law, okay? And, yeah, it works, man. I mean, they recognize it. 11 and a half years, nobody's ever told me different in one instance.
Okay, and that's good information, but as the society continues to break down, and I don't see any end to the society breaking down. So, I mean, how long do you think that will work? I mean, how long do you think the status will work for?
Well, I don't know, because I don't have a crystal ball, but I do know this. If it doesn't work, we all know what time it is, don't we?
Exactly, but then let's say this. So let's say I actually apply for the status. How long does it take for the status to take effect?
It affects immediately when you put the affidavit in the mail. This is your decision, not theirs. You, what system of law you live under, just like what religion and spirituality decision, is your decision. If they tell you what you are, it's tyranny, open and notorious. That's why they've gone to all this trouble to turn everything around so they can ask you two questions you don't understand, and you give them agreement to the fraud and consent to govern you in that status. Now, all you're doing is withdrawing that consent.
Well, I want to give you kudos, because these guys have been doing everything they can to loophole us out of the loopholes, you know what I mean? They're trying to get rid of everything and anything that could possibly set you free in this country, and you found a loophole, and it's not really a loophole. It's always been there, but nobody's seen it, but we've got people like yourself that bring it out. The problem, Andy, I have is that I just don't think that loophole is going to stay open too long, and I think people should use it as long as they can.
Well, I don't think that, because we've still got our guns, that they're ever going to be in a position like they were in Bolshevik Russia, where they can pull the trigger and go the other way. They've got
to recognize
this, see? That's the beauty of it. When you file that one sentence, one piece of paper, you're putting these sorry sons of bitches in checkmate. And the only things they've got as options is to recognize what you've told them or pull the mask off and be an open tyrant. They'll never do that. The numbers don't agree. That's why they're trying to kill so many of us.
Exactly. All right. Hey, look, I just graduated to first grade. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate it.
Okay, Andy, what I'd like for you to do, have you been to our information website?
No, I don't do much of the traveling, but I'll do it for you. Tell me where.
No, don't do it for me. Do it for you. Okay? I've already had my freedom for a long time. All right? Go to The Matrix Docs. The Matrix, D-O-C-S is the spelling. TheMatrixDocs.com. And there's interviews on there. There's the documents. There's sample documents. There's exhibits. There's all kinds of stuff over there. I'll tell you what, Andy. You can go from kindergarten to graduating from college on that website right there.
Oh, I thought I might just get to second grade if I got there, because I didn't
We don't want to stall you there. They introduced you to all that sex education. We want you out of college, man.
I appreciate you, Roger. Thank you for your time.
All right, Andy. Thanks for calling in. Who's next, Sam? Mer, good heavens. Hey, Mer.
Darling, you want some fried green tomatoes?
I do. I'd love to have some of them.
Yeah.
Only, Mer, if you flour them in ground cornmeal.
Oh, yeah, you got to have some, not full ground cornmeal. You got to have
stone ground cornmeal.
Yeah, but it's got to be mixed with flour, not just cornmeal.
You're going to have to talk to my mama about that.
and I guess you got to fry them in lard, according to her, too, probably, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to say, with Andy, you know, it's self-responsibility. You know, we're grown-ups. This is the thing you got to remember. It's not Roger doing it for you. It's not anybody doing it for you. It's you doing it for you. And with Judy, now, when she got stopped, the cop clocked her at 75 and a 55, I guess it was, but he put it down to 69, so, you know, he did try to give her a break.
Right, yeah, and that poor Judy in that situation that happened.
Oh, man, I know, I pray for her a lot. But what I called in to tell you was that video on BitChute, the account name is RedPill78, and he says... Red Pill Network. He says RPN. At first, I'm like, what? Is he saying RBN?
No.
Yes.
No.
So it's a little over 2 hour, and it's called Breakthrough Energy is Here with James Martinez on Saturday Night Live Stream.
Boy, if you guys want to get so excited you want to wet your pants, I definitely suggest you go dig that up and watch it.
And also, we have a chat room here for Roger. It's number2radioranch.chatango.com, and all that stuff is posted in there.
Okay, Myrna, I clarify that. Is that just the number two cold, or is it the number icon and two? So is it 2rogersales.chatango.com?
No, Roger Sales is the one we use over every day of the week, and this one is number2radioranch.
Oh, okay. All right.
Number two, Radio Ranch.
It's just the number two. It doesn't have the little crosshatch,
number
whatever
two
the hell
radio
they call
chance,
it.
Number2radioChance.chatango.com. And anyone's welcome to go to the Roger Sales one, too. That's just your name and RogerSales.chatango.com. You know, so either place.
And listen, I welcome you over on our daily show. If you're able to join us, you can do it later on a podcast if you want. But we stream on Eurofolk Radio Network, and we have a very unique, as it pertains to the Patriot community, I don't know of another format anybody's doing this like ours. And we can have up to 100 people there at a time. We have wonderful group discussions when we have these questions and these intricate situations. We can get more voices in, and we've got a lot of smart people over there and add to it. And it's a real joy. I'm very proud of what we've developed over there. It wasn't intentional, it just happened, but I recognize what it is.
Well, Paul English really hit pay dirt with that one, because we have such fun on there. And after your show then is Jim Rams, except for Fridays, and we do an after show even after Jim Rams sometimes, but especially on Fridays. And we'll be on there for hours sometimes, or come in and out, you know. I mean, Brent will call in while he's driving over there in Las Vegas, you know. So we have a good time. You know,
we
share all kind of things, learn all kind of things from each other. So thank you, Roger. I'll get off of here.
Oh, well. Okay, Mer, thanks for calling in, sweetie, and we appreciate you. Everything you do, not just for me, but for all the other radio hosts and different platforms around that Mer calls into, helps with, et cetera. So thanks, sweetie. Anybody else there, Sam? Mike in Kentucky, bring it on quick. Is this Mike Coffee?
No, this is... This is Mike in Kentucky for a long time. That's a caller with the RBN.
Oh, yeah. I know who
somebody,
you are.
I'm looking through my emails. Did I have an email for you? Or
you mean for me or from me?
To contact you,
All right, here it is. I'm going to give it to you in the audience right now.
It's please.
Two words, Radio Ranch, no space, Radio Ranch at Mail.
I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Not Gmail.
Drop the
send you an email with that email from Gmail, and it said it was no good. But
it's good.
Yahoo recognizes it.
Okay.
So I don't know what happened with that.
All right. Well, when you send it, drop the G string off Gmail, and you'll have us.
Well, I'm about ready to send it. I'm trying to hook you up with a paralegal that's been involved in this, what originally was called Cancelator. And like you said, that other guy drives around with custom license plates. This guy's been doing this for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And he is, when I first introduced him to your stuff, his concern was you could end up stateless. And he's talking about this group that is
no chance, because you're a citizen of the United States of America. And a state citizen, you can't be stateless. If that were true, there would have been no citizens before the Civil War. Did we lose Mike already? I hear the music. Mike, call back next week earlier. I'm done. Ciao.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.